Good evening. Welcome to The Shift. I'll begin a sermon. You just mingle. What's up? You can. I'm just messing with you. So, glad you're here. My name's Neil. If you don't know, now you know. Beside me is Quentin Williams. Quentin Williams and I, along with a few other families, started a church in Alabama called Life Point 5 years ago. And in the last few years, you know, we've been out here working with The Shift, and Quentin and I have been talking, and God laid this thing on his heart about starting this ministry, this organization that plants churches. And I'm not getting a lot of specifics about that, but the crash, and that has led him to Oregon, and the crash and The Shift have basically joined forces to create a Jedi church.
I like joined forces.
And I'm just going to leave it there.
Yeah.
How about that? Jedi church. We'll talk about that more later. But anyway, it's kind of surreal. I said that this morning that, you know, that Quentin's sitting with me on a stage in Oregon and we're going to tag team preach a sermon. It's been a while. So anyway.
You know what I think about every time you say tag team preach?
What's that?
Chris Cross.
Make it jump?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I think of.
I think more like WWE. But anyway, whatever. So let's get to it. The sermon series that we've been in for the last few weeks is Give It Away. And so it's not just that we like the Chili Peppers, but they repeatedly say give it away in the end of that song. So clever, we put that together. So there you go. The whole point of the sermon series is this, is that we're supposed to live our life open-handed. That God's given each one of us gifts and talents. And the purpose of those gifts and talents is to bring glory to Him by essentially giving them away. By not holding tightly to things that aren't ours in the first place. All right? So, we started off, kind of gave an overview, and then we talked about managing truth and giving truth out. You know, that we have this amazing thing that God's given us, and that's the truth, Jesus Christ, if we're a follower of Christ, and that we should liberally share that truth, the gospel, with everybody. We talked about time last week, and that essentially, I mean, our time should be given in ways that brings God glory. So this week, we're talking about talent and gifts. We all have talents and gifts, right? Yes. Let's do this. Yes. Some of us can pat our head and rub our belly. Some of us can't. And that's what the Bible wants to talk to us about tonight. I'm just kidding. All right, we all have gifts and talents. Way beyond that, okay? So before we can really get into what it looks like to be a manager of talent, we had to get the correct focus here, the correct lens to view this all through. Quentin's got that.
Yeah, I'm really honored to actually be able to share the gospel and the Bible with you tonight. I'm from Alabama and haven't been here as long as Neil, so I'll use terms like y'all and stuff a lot, so just bear with that. If you can't understand me, afterwards I'll translate. Neil was from a metropolis called Boaz. And I just
by the name, you should know it's a metropolis.
Metropolis, Boaz.
10,000 people.
I lived in a place called Alder Springs.
1,000 people.
Yeah. So, but I'm really honored because here's the thing: we do all have talents, and what I want to look at first is the guy who had probably the most talents and kind of what he did with his talents. I mean, I want to look at what Jesus did because Jesus was definitely talented. He was a great communicator, better than any of us. At the Shift that could communicate. He walked on water. Pretty cool talent. I saw that lizard does it. They call it Jesus lizard. But other than that, like, you know, he's the guy that did that. He was pretty good with a whip, apparently. Chased people out of the temple with a whip. That's a cool talent. Jesus had a lot of really cool talents. Carpenter, healed a lot of people. Really talented guy. And in fact, he was God. And so he could do whatever he wanted to do. When you're God, you're pretty talented as it comes along. And so Jesus was that. But you find in the gospel, the end of it, really the apex of Jesus' life here on earth, you find out what he does with his talents. And it's kind of heartbreaking when we really look at it and really see that when Jesus could do anything, the thing he did more, the thing he desired more than anything was to be obedient to God. And God desired to reconcile us back to him, to bring himself glory. And that's the story of the gospel. I just want to read a little bit of this out of John 19. You've been going through it here at the Shift, and so it shouldn't be foreign to you. I'm going to start at the very beginning, then I'm going to skip and kind of hit the meat of it. But it says, then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. And then verse 16 in this chapter 19 says, so he delivered him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of a skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription, put it up on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. The chief priest of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but rather this man said, 'I am King of the Jews.'" And Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." And when the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and they divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier. Also his tunic, but the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture, which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things. Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all this was now finished, said to fulfill the scriptures, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. And when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." He bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. And I think before we can look at anything at how we use our talents, we have to remember that this is what Jesus came for. To give everything back to the Father, to pay for our sins on the cross, pay the debt that we had built up by our sin so he could reconcile us back to the Father so that God could get glory. And as we begin to look at talents, we have to look at it through the lens of the gospel.
You know, I only wear one contact lens because this eye is completely blind and it's also, well, lazy and blind. So it's worthless. But it fills a hole. So, you know, I'm thankful for that. But on my one good eye that's somewhat good, over the years of carrying the burden of seeing for both, it's gotten weaker and weaker. So I have to have a corrective lens, okay? And I wear a contact lens in this one eye, okay? And so here's the thing. As we start to look at managing our gifts and talents, every one of us, spiritually, without the grace of God and the gospel as our focus, as our corrective lens that helps us to focus, we're spiritually blind, okay? Every one of us spiritually are like my lazy eye, okay? We fill a hole, all right? But spiritually speaking, we have no focal point. We have no grounding without this gospel story. That God became man, lived, and died on a cross. The gospel is the person and the work of Jesus Christ. The story of the person and work of Jesus Christ. So, as we start and we hear this story of God dying on a cross, and we know that he came back to life, as we hear that, now we start talking about managing talents. Okay, so I need to manage my talents like Jesus did and give them away. The question becomes this, as I'm looking through the lens of the gospel, how do I do that? And how do I do that with the right motivation? How do I do that in a way that doesn't bring me glory? So let's look at more scripture. Romans 12:1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Man, we can stop right there. I'm going to read some more in Romans 12 because it talks about gifts and talents. Before we can really even get into managing our talents and gifts, we hear the story of God sacrificing himself on a cross. His call to us in response to that is to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. This is a set of scriptures. I mean, John 19, Romans 12, that you've all heard before if you've been in church. The question I have for all of us, myself included tonight, is this: do I get it? Paul says, I appeal to you. The old King James is like, I beseech you, I beg you to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. King James says again, this is your reasonable service. This is what's required of you in response to the gospel. You essentially kill your will. Paul said it this way in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. And the life that I live in this flesh is to bring glory to the Son of God that died for me. So as we're starting this thing, we talk about how to manage our talents, how we manage the gifts that God's given us. We start by dying to ourselves in response to what we heard that Jesus did on the cross. And we move from there. How do we start making our mind get this concept? Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Yeah, we got the same version here. We turn the same page, buddy. Verse 3, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has given, that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, the many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, to the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Keep on going. But what we see here is this. Our response to the gospel is that we must die to ourselves. And from that, there's this process that has to start happening of our mind being transformed. From that, we start asking ourselves, how can we use these talents and gifts? I mean, what is it that the Bible tells us? And really, it's this. We bring glory to God by what he's given us. And we do that in two ways, essentially. We proclaim the gospel, share the story of the person and the work of Jesus, and we serve the church to equip, to build up the church as a whole, not just the shift.
Yeah, and talking, I want to really focus on that part of it, that when we use our talents, we're supposed to really be bringing in the gospel to the world around us. I think it's a struggle for us because, if I'm just really honest, I think a lot of times we're selfish. We want to use our talents for our own use, for our own profit, for our own glory. And I don't think it's necessarily that we woke up one day and decided that's who we wanted to be. I think we're kind of groomed into that by the way that our society is around us and how we grew up. I don't know about you, but I heard things like this all the time when I grew up. It's a dog-eat-dog world out there. I heard that all the time. I heard you got to take care of number one, which meant you took care of yourself, you did what it took for you to be successful, and you didn't worry about who kind of fell by the wayside on the way up. You know, I started playing football in junior high, and I started realizing, okay, this might be something I could actually be good at. Because up until then, I was like this little pudgy kid that like had glasses. Junior high was like a wreck for me. I had hot pink sports glasses that I played basketball in. Now, if you're a pudgy kid, all right, I say pudgy because it makes me feel better, by the way. If you're a pudgy kid, you wear hot pink sports glasses, play basketball, let me just tell you, your world goes downhill really quick. But that's who I was. But I started to play football, and I started going, oh, man, I've kind of found somewhere where I kind of really feel a purpose and actually became pretty good, started working out. And the more I worked out, the better I became at football. And then people started talking college football. And then I'm like running more. I'm working out. I'm kind of finding my identity. I'm realizing I have a talent to play the sport. And next thing you know, man, I'm so absorbed in myself and using this talent to get this platform that makes Quentin look great. That's all I'm doing. I would go and run and work out, not because I wanted to bring God glory, because I wanted Quentin to have as much glory as Quentin could have. I wanted people to talk about me. I wanted my picture in the newspaper. I wanted to have great games so that my name would be made much of. And what's happened is we've done that with everything. We go to school and we get the best degree so we can make the most money so our name can be made much of. We go get a job and we do whatever it takes to get in a place in that job where you can kind of make as much money as you can and become as much of the boss as you can so that your name can be made much of. Through the whole process, we forget these talents were given to us so that we can make much of God. You know, and I have to say it with a broken heart, man. I walked away, I went and played college football. And when I walked away from college football, I never used those talents and gifts to bring God glory. He gave me a platform where I could have shared his name with hundreds of people. And I used it to bring me glory. And I think that's how we're, again, how we're kind of geared in our society. But I love what it says in that very first verse there. I mean, the second verse, it says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. It's like we've got to begin to think differently. And we do that when we put ourselves in the context, when we remember what the gospel is. I mean, Jesus gave everything he had for us so that we could be reconciled back to the Father. And when we can remember that, when that quits just being a philosophy that we kind of live our life by, but it becomes the core of who we are, then it begins to change the way we live. And it begins to mean that talents we have begin not to be talents to make our life look better, but talents to be used so that the message that transformed us could somehow transform someone else. And it means that you don't just do things for your glory, you do them for God's glory. You know, I'll never forget, I always go to, I say always, but for the last 4 or 5 years, I went to Mardi Gras. Neil went the first time we went down in New Orleans and do street ministry. A lot of it's with homeless people. You know, we find people who's been hit over the head with beer bottles and don't know where they are. And we try to get them home and just different things. I'll never forget this guy coming up to me. And we just start having a conversation because he knows I'm helping people. And he goes, man, you know, what's your deal? Dude, I'm just, you know, I feel like Jesus wants me here to kind of help out, love people, share the love of Christ. Oh, Jesus. Yeah. He says, I know Jesus. I go, oh, that's great. He goes, yeah, I don't follow Jesus. I went, I mean, you understand what he did for you on the cross, right? Yeah, I understand. And he looked at me and said, but I think it's so cool that Satan stood up against God, that I'm throwing my lot in with Satan. Man, I was blown away. I was like, you know the repercussions of that, right? Yeah, man. But how awesome is it that he stood up against God because he had enough pride for who he was? And I was like, thought, man, this guy is so mixed up. But then I went home that night, and in my prayer time, I started saying, you know what? The way I live my life, I'm that guy sometimes. I'm more interested in standing up and making much about me instead of realizing my life's for God. And I do things for me, and I make much about my name instead of making much about God's name. And God has called us to be be sharing the gospel with all those around us. You say, Quentin, what's that look like every day? How does that happen every day? I don't know. Let's say, I don't know what your job is in here. I don't know. Somebody said they're hunting cougars tomorrow. I heard that. All right. Let's say your job was to hunt cougars. I don't know. That's a pretty cool job, I guess.
That's an amazing job.
But let's say your job was to hunt cougars. Right? You're a cougar hunter. All right. In the animal cougar sense.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, I just thought you were.
I'm with you.
I thought you were going there.
No.
Okay, good. How do you use that, how do you use that to bring God glory? I don't know, maybe it's in the fact that you realize every time you take someone with you to hunt, you take that as an opportunity to show them the love that Christ has shown you. Maybe you take that as an opportunity not just to go and to shoot a gun and to have fun, maybe you take this opportunity that that person you're spending time with on the drive to where you're going, while you're out in the woods, you're taking time and saying, this is a time I get to reflect the gospel to this person. I get to show them what the gospel looks like out of some kind of talent that God's given me. Now, if your talent's communicating, if your talent's playing one of these instruments, if it doesn't matter what your talent is. If your talent's welding, then you use that talent and use it wherever God places you. Bring glory to Him and let the gospel be seen in your life so that people will begin to ask questions about who Jesus is and why your life seems so different. That's what God's called us to do. The thing is, all our talents, look, it doesn't matter. One talent's greater than the other. We've all been given these talents because God's called us to reach certain people with the gospel. You are given the talents you're given for a purpose. Because God wants you to renew your mind and lay down your life as that living sacrifice and begin to show the gospel to the world. Because we can do that. And we're either going to choose, when we wake up tomorrow, we're either going to choose to live our lives for ourselves, to live our lives for the gospel. And Neil's going to deal with the second part of that.
So the first part is sharing the story of the person and work of Jesus. The gospel, wherever we can, however our talents and gifts allow us to do that. The second part to that is serving the church. This always seems kind of contrived, okay? Because, the church needs people to do stuff. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, yeah, we do. There's multiple chapters in the Bible dedicated to this exact topic of using your gifts inside the context of the body of Christ, the church, to serve. I want to get real deep with you here. Romans chapter 12 again, right? You say, what's this mysterious key to unlocking my gifts and how I use them in the church? Romans chapter 12, verse 6 says this: having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, so we all got different gifts. According to God's grace, we have different gifts. 1 Corinthians tells us this, is that the reason we all have different gifts is to help each other. Because if we all were one thing, it would, number one, be redundant, but number two, be pretty counterproductive. All right? But here's the big thing about how do I use my gifts? How do I manage my gifts, right? Paul, tell me, all right? He says this: we all have the different gifts according to the grace given to us. Let us use them. There you go. It's my nugget of truth for you tonight. Use them. I'm out of here. Nah. It's that simple, really. We want to make it something mysterious. What are my spiritual gifts? Well, I don't know, man. Can you help me set up on Sunday morning and then let's talk about that and figure it out together? I don't know. Let's figure it out. Maybe you already know what they are, and maybe you think you know and you're really not accurate. We say here at The Shift all the time, the whole purpose of our gifts is that we bring what we have to the party. You get invited to a party, they say bring something with you. They give you specifics. Maybe you bring in hamburger buns. And, depending on the type of party, it's a six-pack of soda or maybe it's beer. I'm not trying to offend anybody, but, we're all there. All right? Maybe you're bringing this, you're bringing that. Whatever it is, you're invited to a party, you bring something. God's created this family, all right, that's very dysfunctional because we're in it, all right? I'm in it, and you're in it, and you're in it, and you're in it, you're in it. So it's dysfunctional. You're in it. If you're a believer, you're in the family, and we're dysfunctional. But we bring what we have to this family reunion that we get together and do something each week on Sunday. We bring our gifts to the party, and we use them. And I don't know who you are. I don't know what specifically, you know, this one gift maybe that sticks out to you. There's this guy in Alabama, David Nicholson. We started a church there, and he's starting to show up. And he's actually a really bright guy, but he liked to act like he wasn't. And he's a big guy. He said, well, I got a weak mind and a strong back, but I'll do whatever I can to help out. I mean, basically, he would help us do certain things, mostly physical things. What talents do you have? Ultimately, this, as we read through Romans 12, it says this, use them according to the measure of faith and grace given to you. So, do you trust God? Do you trust God that he's going to lead you into something that's healthy for your life? Faith and the grace that he's given you, he's called you into this family. And even though it's a dysfunctional family, we're going to work it out, okay? And eventually, one day, he's going to make us into a very functional family. So, if you're concerned about getting involved and maybe getting your feelings hurt, I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, you're going to. Because you're dealing with me sometimes. And I'm dealing with you. Use them. All right? To serve the church, to build it up. So what?
Thanks. We're going to do something a little bit different tonight for So What. Here at The Shift, we do take a minute and we say, so what? How do we apply this? In the same way that Q and Neil have just taught the message, we're going to do this. We're going to say, so what, in two different shapes or forms of that. And actually, our so what, I think it's the first time ever we've done a tag team so what.
It's kind of like we've been tagged in.
Excellent. I'm ready to go. And so this is going to be like 20 minutes, right?
I will drop the people's elbow on you.
Okay. Q talked a lot about talents in conjunction to the gospel. And Neil talked a lot about talents in conjunction to the community of faith, the church. And so let's just talk about how do we apply that in those two different arenas.
As the guys were talking, I couldn't help but think back. I think so often we think that there's some sort of magic formula to sharing the gospel outside of these walls. And I think we overthink it sometimes. And I was thinking back when I was a youth pastor, and I had a gal who came into my office, and she sat down and she said, Scott, I don't know, not only do I not know how to share the gospel, I don't even think I have any talents to give. And I said, well, everybody has talents to give. I mean, what are you good at? And she said, nothing. I said, well, what do you like to do? Nothing. But I mean, there must be something that, you know, you're into. Not really. I said, well, what is the one thing that you like doing? I said, well, I kind of like spending my parents' money. So let's start with that. Well, what do you like doing? Well, I like taking it and going shopping. I said, all right, well, let's use that. We'll see how that works. And I went out and talked to my secretary, and I said, you know, could we have $40 out of the petty cash? And she asked why, and I said, we're going shopping. And a very understanding secretary at the time said, here you go, just make sure you get a receipt. We went out and went to the mall when there were actual stores in the mall. Does anybody remember when that was? And we walked up to this store, and I said, here's $40. I want you to go in, and I want you to buy something for somebody. And I'm going to stand right here at the entrance of this store until you do. Look, there's somebody your age right over there. And she took that $40, and she walked into the store, and I'm standing in the entrance of the store, and she walked over, and I could see what she was doing. She was pointing at me, and I could almost read her lips and says, see the strange man in the doorway? He won't let me leave until I buy you something. Before I know it, these two girls started looking at clothes. And I was unaware for you ladies that $40 can last 4.5 hours. That's amazing. And this gal that she had never met before, she bought her those clothes. And they spent every bit of that $40. 2 weeks later, this gal that she had never known before, she invited a youth group. 1 month after that, this gal that she had never met before came to accept Christ as her Lord and Savior. See, because it's not about what you think is a talent, what you think the gifts that God has given you. What God has given you are the gifts and the talents that He wants you to use. Use them for His glory. Find a way to use them. Maybe it's just going next door and mowing a lawn. Maybe it's taking brownies next door. Maybe it's bringing brownies to my house. I will get saved again if you bring brownies to my house. It's about taking what you have and loving people. When you do that, you will be able to share the love of Christ, and people will embrace it because they see it's who you are and it's what God has done in you.
I'm supposed to say something intelligent after brownies getting saved. Makes you kind of want to lose your salvation, so just shut up, Brad. Stupid joke. God save Brad. Gospel is a beautiful thing. And it's a beautiful thing that God has created us with multiple gifts and talents to put on our fingertips to give away. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you were bored? When was the last time you were bored? For some of you, it might have been 5 minutes ago. It might have been this gathering right here. For some of you, may have been this weekend or at school. But what are the circumstances of you getting bored? Why do you get bored? I get bored often when I'm driving. I'm going someplace, but I mean, if the radio, there's nothing on or whatever, I'm just boring. Now, and I wonder if oftentimes that's a perfect description of our journey of faith, where we want to go somewhere. I mean, we want to ultimately experience this thing called heaven, right? But our journey of faith is a boring journey getting there. We're just bored. Bored with it. There's seasons of intense boredom. And I wonder if possibly that some of the boredom is just due to the fact that we're cruising along and we're disengaged, just along for the ride, not intentional in the journey. And what would it look like if we became, as the Word said, we became doers of the Word and not just hearers who delude themselves? What would that look like? What would that look like if we started giving away our gifts and talents? Very simply put, as Neil talked about in conjunction with the community faith, we've got an opportunity for you. As we've been going through this whole series, every week we've been bringing someone up to share about an opportunity to serve in the community, as well as within the community faith. And if you remember back when we started this whole series, we started with Options Pregnancy Center, and they gave out baby bottles. And I want you to do this. If you happen to have those full of change, be thinking about that and bring them back next week. And we're doing a fundraiser for them. We brought up the Crash. We brought up Q and his team, and we said how we've partnered with the Crash now, and the Shift and the Crash are one, and they're on the ground in Eugene, and they're planting a church, and we're moving forward with that. And so not only is the Crash planting a church, but the Shift community right now is planting a Shift community in Eugene. We're planting a church down there. That's pretty exciting. We brought up Jeremy Ito, and we talked about Young Life and our partnership. Community. Brought Tammy in. We talked about Shift Kids, an opportunity to invest in Shift Kids. Today, again, we're going to focus right now on the community of faith here internally for a moment. What would it look like for you to invest your gifts and talents within the community of faith? Back in the back on the air hockey table and pool table, we've got We've got some sign-up sheets, just various opportunities for you to jump in and get involved and to meet a need. And that might be everything from hanging out with our kids and teaching our kids to investing in the morning at the shift in the morning. In fact, by the way, the morning has grown so much that we this summer are adding another morning gathering. And we're asking people, would you come and would you worship in one gathering and would you serve in the other gathering? And tonight, there's nothing happening as far as the nursery or anything like that next door. Well, there's nobody do that. What would that look like? Would you consider maybe worshiping in the morning and coming and serving at night here in this community of faith? The night shift, what would that look like? A variety of opportunities. We're just going to ask you before you leave, just simply swing by the table over there. Take a look at the needs and maybe write down just your name. And just would you just do this? Maybe something kind of resonates with your heart. You're not sure. Would you just try it out? Huh? Would you just try it out? See if it's a fit? What would that look like? Maybe that might just be the catalyst for you to take a little bit of the boredom out of your journey of faith and begin to experience this true relational thing is all about, giving it away. Sound like a plan?